Okay, good evening, everybody. Yener of Shabbos. Welcome back to our Pirkei Avos class learning. Important announcement. Next week, I have a conflict. So next week's shiur will be, it's Thursday evening, March 2nd. Shiur next week will be at 7 p.m. I realize this might create a conflict for some people, but instead of canceling entirely, especially as we move into the season of Purim and then Pesach, when we're missing a lot of classes just because of the calendar. So it's important. Next week, I'm going to post it on the chat, but not everyone always reads the announcements, which it's kedai to read them. So please, next week, shiur will be at 7 o'clock. If that time doesn't work for you, now when the recording is posted, you could listen at 8 o'clock. Okay? Instead of canceling, I'm moving it up so that I can make my 8 o'clock appointment meeting that I cannot change. That's not negotiable, family, whatever, for my kids. So sorry. I'm trying to balance everything. Okay, good evening, everybody. We have three shiur sponsors this evening, three very special women who are sponsoring tonight's shiur. Tizkun mitzvos elamaisim tovim. My friend Shani Gerlitz is sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas. Her mother-in-law, Sara Chana Bas Yaakov, was born in Europe and came to America as a young girl. She was an only child. She herself was a survivor and a child of survivors. Her own father died when she was 12, and her greatest joy was having a family, but she passed away before she could see her children marry and grow up. However, she left a legacy of doros, children, grandchildren, and a great-grandchild that was chus for her neshama. Shani said she never met her, but she was an incredible person. Her yahrzeit was Chof Aleph Shvat, so a Holocaust survivor. It's also the yahrzeit this week for Shani Gerlitz's maternal grandfather, Heschel ben Menachem Mendel, La Mitzva, and her paternal grandmother, Chava Bas Yaakov, Beis Adar. What I found very interesting, sometimes when we have multiple sponsors, the dates are all different. So it's three Aliyah Neshamas for yahrzeit on Beis Adar, which was today, which I found very interesting. Malki Sultan is sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas. Her mother, Malki, I remember when she was Neftaris last year, and now it's her first yahrzeit. Her mother, Edith Reichman, Chaya Edo, Bas Harav Shlomo Zalman Halivi, on the occasion of her first yahrzeit, which was also second Adar. She too was a survivor of Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen. She left over a family, Baruch Hashem, of five generations, Bli Ein Hara. She taught Kibbutz Ava'im by example. She took in Malki's father's parents, who also survived the Holocaust, and lived in one house with us. She was a giving person, friend, caring mother, and devoted wife for almost 75 years. She, Neshama, should have an aliyah. The yahrzeit was also Beis Adar. And finally, my friend Alana Moskowitz. Alana, are you here? Yes. Alana, I'm wearing the new tichel that Alana just made for me. Alana Moskowitz is also sponsoring the Zecher Nishmas, her father, whose yahrzeit is also Beis Adar. Shlomo Zalman ben Rav Alchanan, the neshama should have an aliyah, all the neshamos should have aliyahs in the schus of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. Tizku lemitzos ulemaisim tovim. Okay, so what are we doing tonight? We are going to be tying it in. It's based on the point of departure for our shiur is going to be, well, a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and a topic from this week's parsha. So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, I'm not screen sharing. I just want to make sure my recorder works because I'm a little OCD about it. So the Mishnah tells us in Perek Dalet, okay? Perek Dalet, Mishnah Chof Zayin. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir said, Al tistakel bakan kan. Do not look at the jug. Don't look at the container. Ala b'mashi yeshbo. Rather, look what is inside the container. Yesh kan kan chadash malei yashan. You could have a new container that's full of old wine. The yashan, and you could have an old container, an old jug, shafil chadash embo, that doesn't even have new wine. So what is Rabbi Meir teaching us? Okay, what Rabbi Meir teaching us is that sometimes the internal and the external do not match up. And therefore he says, al tistekel bakan kan, not bikan kan, bakan kan. Don't look at the jug, al b'mash yeshua, you should look at what is inside of the jug. Don't look at the exterior. And the English expression, the havdol, excuse me, havdol alf alf adalus, to the wisdom of Torah Shabbat Peh, and the divinity of Torah Shabbat Peh, and the English expression, don't judge a book by its cover. Yesh kan kan chadash malei yashan. You could have an old jug, so that indicates, yesh kan kan chadash, a new jug, which is not expensive, not valuable, not worthy. But it could be malei yashan, full of old, excellent, delicious wine. So if you look at the exterior, it looks cheap. It looks not worthy. It looks nothing valuable. And when you go inside, it's the best wine you ever tasted. So in this case, the external does not reflect the value of the internal. The Yashan, and you could have an old jug, so you have the appearance of a distinguished person or persona or a beautiful antique jug, and you're going to pay, like my son said when I was discussing the Mishnah with him, he's the one who you usually see on Thursday nights on the screen, so he came in a few minutes early, so we were discussing it, so I said, oh, Arya, do you want to go on the camera and explain it? I said, because they're used to seeing you Thursday nights, but he declined the offer. So he said, the Yashan, you would see an old jug, you would pay $100,000 for it in an auction because it looks to be so valuable. And then you take it home, and my son said, a few chadash aimbo, not is it that there's no old wine, which would be reflective of an old jug, there's not even new wine, it has nothing in it. So the external is deceiving. It looks to be distinguished, premier value, expensive, antique. And then you pay so much money in the auction, and then you bring it home, and not only does it not have old wine, it doesn't even have new wine. So we see that sometimes there is a disconnect, there's a disparity between the external and the internal. You could see an old jug, distinguished, beauty, value, and it has nothing in it. And you could see a new jug, which represents something mass production, cheap, no particular value, and you bring it home, and it is full of something so valuable, you can't even believe what's inside. That's what the Mishnah tells us. So what does this have to do with anything? And why did I choose this Mishnah, which we have, by the way, in all our 3 years, almost coming up to 3 years, yeah? It's March, coming up to 3 years, but Be'ezrat Hashem, I can't believe it. Baruch Hashem, Lahagdol Torah L'Adira. We've never discussed this Mishnah. So why did I decide to choose this Mishnah? So now we're going to take a break from the Mishnah, and we're going to talk about the Aron Kodesh. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Truma, and on a bunch of classes, I was asked, where's your Mishkan book? I said, whatever, I spoke about other things. The Mishkan book didn't make an appearance in those classes. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Truma, and in Perach Chav Hei of the book of Shmos, we begin the last segment of Sefer Shmos, Truma, Tetzava, beginning of Ketisa, Vayalkon, Pekudei, and that is where Malachas HaMishon is described. So Truma, Tetzava, the beginning of Ketisa, deal with the instructions, the blueprint for what you will build, and Vayalkon, Pekudei are the implementation of the building. So the first kli in this week's parsha begins, and Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and take from me a portion from every man, his heart motivates him to give. So you shall take my portion. This is the portion you shall take from them, gold, silver, copper, okay? Wools, and linen, and goat's hair, and ram skins, and tachash skins, and shittim wood, and oil for lighting, and oil for anointing, spices for anointing. And then, when you get to Perach Chav Hei Pasuk Yud, we're commanded to make an Aron. Va'atzu Aron Atzei Shittim. You should make an Aron of Shittim wood. So I want to show you what the Aron looked like. So now we're finally getting to, after a whole week, people asking me, where's your Mishkan book? Here's my Mishkan book. Okay, so I want to talk for a few minutes about the Aron, and then we're going to go to an essay, a beautiful essay from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb, which reminded me very much of this Mishnah, which is why I chose the Mishnah and Rabbi Meir's teaching that there is a disconnect often between the external and the internal. And sometimes there's not a one-to-one correlation in a person between their external and their internal. And what do we make of this? Okay, so what was the Aron Kodesh? The Aron Kodesh was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Mishkan itself was 30 amos long by 10 amos wide. The Kodesh was 20 by 10, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 10 by 10. There was also the Chatzer all around, but I'm talking about the Mishkan proper. In the Kodesh, you had the golden Shulchan with the Lachem upon him, the golden menorah, and the golden altar, the Mizbech HaZahal, Mizbech HaKtoros, Mizbech HaPnimi. And when you cross the partition, the Parochas, virtually, because you're not allowed to cross the partition of the Parochas, you move into the space called the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies, you have the Aron Kodesh. It was the only Kli that was there. No one was allowed to enter besides the Avodos Yom Kippurim of the Kohen Gadol, and this is where the Shekhinah Kaviyachol dwelt. Infinity contracted to dwell in a finite space between the two Kruvim. So what was the Aron made of? So there you see the three boxes. There were three boxes that the Aron was made of. There was a middle box that was wood. That was called the Aron itself. The Aron was that wood box you see in the middle. V'tzipiso osav zahav tahor mi bayis l'michutz titzapenu. You shall cover it with pure gold from the bayis, from the inside, and the outside you shall cover it. So it was like stacking rings. The innermost box was gold. The middle box was called the Aron. It was wood. And the outermost box was gold. And here it shows you how they went in, one into another. You see, the three boxes went stacking, and then a golden lid was put atop. Okay? When you looked at the Aron, I'm not going to go through all the components of the Aron. It's beyond the scope of time that we have. When you looked at the finished Aron, you did not see the wood at all. Okay, this is what the finished product looked like. I'm really skipping, sorry. When you looked at the finished product, this is what it looked like. So you only saw the gold, but really inside that bottom box, there's a gold box, then a wood box, then a gold box. It is covered with a golden lid. There is a zer zahav, which you cannot see in this picture, a golden diadem all around, which represents Keser Torah. There are two wooden staves, wooden badim, that are covered in gold. The badim never move from there. And there are lessons from every single thing I'm telling you. We just unfortunately don't have time. And on the top, you have the kruvim. Those two kruvim, parsim knafayim lamala, sochachim bichnafayim es ha-kapores. They had their wings spread upward, covering with their wings the lid, upneihem ish alachiv, and the face of each kruv faced each other. This is what the finished Aron Kodesh looked like. There's an extremely famous Gemara that talks about the fact that you need three boxes, and the Aron itself, like I said, is the wooden one. The Asu Aron Atzei Shitim. The Aron itself is made out of Shitim one, okay? So there's a very famous Gemara in Maseches Yuma, which is quoted here in my Mishkan book. Okay, a Maseches Yuma, Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, and the Gemara very famously tells us what is the lesson that you learn from the fact that the inside was gold and the outside was gold and the middle was wood. So the Gemara says you learn from here. Kol Tamid Chacham Shein Tocha Kavaro Ein Tamid Chacham. Any Torah scholar whose inside is not like his outside is not a Tamid Chacham. Okay. Your inside has to be like your outside. In other words, what was the inside? The inside was gold. What was the outside? Gold. So your inside, tocho, has to be like your outside, kavaro. And if it's not, you're not a Talmud Chacham. That's what the Gemara says. It's an extremely famous Gemara. So how do we understand this Gemara? Because the truth is, there's a big kasha on this Gemara. Is the Gemara telling you that you should make yourself a reflection of your inside? Or is the Gemara telling you you should be a reflection of your outside? It's not a trick question. Just think carefully. Kol Tamid Chacham she'ein tocho kevaro ein Tamid Chacham. Any Torah scholar whose inside is not like his outside is not a Torah scholar. So what do you have to be like? Your inside or your outside? The inside should reflect the outside. Malki Sultan is saying you should be like the inside. Esti Khan, I didn't understand exactly what your answer is. The inside, yeah, you said it right. Malki Sultan, no. Esti Khan said it correct. The inside should reflect the outside. So, it's actually not what the second person wrote, the inside. Listen again. Any Torah scholar, She'ein Tocho, who's inside, is not reflective of his outside, is not a Torah scholar. That's a surprising statement, isn't it? Isn't that typically not what we think when it comes to Avodas Hashem? Don't we usually think the inside is what counts and not the outside? And yeah, Chazal seem to be telling us something very, very different. They are telling us, right, you would think the outside should reflect the inside. So your essence is your neshama, which is inside. Okay, so Chana Wasserman agrees with Malki Sultan, but Lamaisa, it's not correct, ladies. What Chazal are telling you is that your inside should reflect your outside. So we have to understand what that means. And to the person who said they should both be the same, that's much easier said than done. Because sometimes you act nicely to a person, but inside you're really thinking, OMG, get me out of here. Maybe it never happened to you, but it happens sometimes to human beings. So really, it's not always correct that you have consistency. Someone else wrote consistency is key. It is key. And it's true they should both be equal. And you should be tzadekes on the outside and the inside. But Maisha, it doesn't always happen. That's exactly what Rabbi Meir tells us, that there's not always consistency, the Mishnah says. Sometimes you have a kankan chadash, a brand new, cheap, mass production, straight off the factory in China jug. Who wants that one? It costs 5 cents. And maybe they mark it up to $5. And then you bring it home, Malay Yashan, you find a huge treasure inside. The outside is not reflective of what was on the inside. And sometimes Yashan, you find a beautiful vase from, I don't know, going back 1,000 years ago to the ancient Chinese empire, and it's worth so much money, and you think there must be so much value in here. Then you bring it home, and it doesn't even have new wine, forget old wine. So for other people who are saying consistency is key and they have to match, that's very nice. But the truth is that they often don't match if we want to be realistic. And that's exactly what Bimir is telling you. They don't match. You can't judge the outside based on the inside, and you can't judge the inside based on the outside. And you can't judge anyone by their cover. Inside has been Adam and Malcolm, outside has been Adam and Chavero. I'm going to propose that I don't necessarily agree with that either, because Ben Adam and Malcolm is everything, outside and inside. Your outside is also Ben Adam and Malcolm. Okay, so I'm going to quote an essay from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichron al-Bracha, in the Sefer Joshua the Doro, the book of Exodus. But I will tell you that I was listening to Shir Bar by Zev Lef earlier in the week, Shlita, and he was discussing the same idea. I'm going to begin with the story that Rabbi Zev, well, for sure shouldn't judge anyone pure, but that's a different Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Okay, that's a different Mishnah. Al tadin es chaverch ad shetagilim komo. So Rabbi Zev Lef often will tell a story. When I was a young Rav in Miami, and we're going back many decades ago, and he said there was a woman who grew up, he said, I don't like using terms, but he used the term modern Orthodox. It sounded more marginally Orthodox than modern Orthodox. They kept Shabbos in the house, they kept kosher in their home, but they would eat out parv or dairy. You know, they kept Shabbos, but borer, tochein, hotzah, that's not for me, too detailed. Then she got married, and she had a child. And she realized that now that she had a child, she was responsible for another Jewish soul. Maybe it's time to get more serious about Judaism. So she went to Rabbi Zev Lef, and she said she wants to become more serious. More Shomer's Torah mitzvot, and her husband was on board. They were going to do it together. So Rabbi Zev Lef said one thing at a time. You can't do too much at once because it'll backfire, which is true in Avodas Hashem in general. One thing at a time. Start with Shabbos. After we'll talk about everything else. So she started with Shabbos. They learned more of the halachos of Shabbos, more of the details on the pratim. Okay, they started with Shabbos. Then after Shabbos, he says, let's talk about kashrus. Rav Salvechik has a similar story. When someone came to him and she wanted to be a chozer b'teshuvah, and she came to Rav Salvechik and she had gone to many rabbis, and they told her either all or nothing. Either you keep all 613 commandments or we can't help you. She came to the Rav and he said, choose one thing. But whatever you choose, you have to do it perfectly well, to the best of your ability. Do it well, one thing. Then we'll talk about everything else. She chose kashrus, one thing. And the end of the story is that today she was a Shomer's Torah mitzvah, building a Jewish home and a from Torah lifestyle, and there to show with her family. So Rabbi Zev Lef said to this person one thing. Start with Shabbos. That's the only thing you have to think about now. Let's work on Shabbos. After they worked on Shabbos for X amount of time, he said, let's work on kashrus, just kashrus. Finally, after some time, he said, I think now we should talk about tznias. Rabbi Zev Lef said, in those days, the only people, for the most part, who covered their hair were the wives of the rabbis or the teachers in the Talmud Torah. So he said to this woman, I think we should talk about tznias. I think you should start covering your hair. So she said, Rabbi, I can't do that. If I start covering my hair, I'm going to be the biggest hypocrite around. Why? She says, because I'm not married to a rabbi. I'm not a teacher in the Torah day school. Nobody else around me is wearing a wig, and I don't feel that I'm on that level. My inside doesn't match who I would be portraying myself to be. So Rabbi Zev Lef told her, you're making a mistake. Because the Gemara tells us, your toch, your tocho has to be kevaro. Your inside has to match your outside and not vice versa. Chazal do not say your inside has to match your outside. Imagine if Chazal said your outside has to match your inside on the days when you woke up not so happy. You didn't sleep enough. Somebody was up in the middle of the night. You're not feeling well. You're rushing for the bus for the kids, whatever it is. You're just not feeling so great. So what do? If you're striving to be a good mother slash wife, you put on a smile and you remain totally calm, even though inside you don't feel totally calm. What are you doing? Your outside is not an accurate reflection of your inside. So would you say that that person should go around screaming and yelling because that's what their inside is? Chazal are very astute. Chazal do not say about the Aron Kodesh. The Aron Kodesh represents Torah. The Zer Zahav, which I mentioned, is Keser Torah. The Zer Zahav on the Golden Mizbeach is Keser Kohuna. The Zer Zahav on the Golden Shulchan is Keser Malachim. And the Zer Zahav on the Aron Kodesh is Keser Torah. The Aron held the Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos, the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote. All Aron represents, all its dimensions represent Torah. When it comes to being a Torah personality, Chazal tell you, if you want to be a Talmud Chacham, which we should all be striving to be, your tocho has to be kevaro. Your inside has to match your outside. So Rabbi Zavlev told that woman, you're making a mistake. We're going to talk about tznius. If you don't feel like that on the inside, you don't feel like that on the inside. But if you start to behave like that on the outside, the inside will catch up and match. We're not going to do it in depth now, because I still really want to get to Rabbi Lam. What was I thinking? But if you look at mitzvah Tes Zayin in the Sefer HaChinuch, relates to the parshas we just had on the upcoming Yom Tov of Pesach. In parshas Bo, we have a mitzvah when it comes to the Parban Pesach, Etzem Lo Sishbru Bo. You're not allowed, that's towards the end of Perikid Beis in parshas Bo. You're not allowed to break a bone in the Parban Pesach. That's the halacha. What do we learn from here? So the Sefer HaChinuch is gevaldik. It's extremely beautiful and very profound. Sefer HaChinuch says, why can't you break a bone? It shouldn't be like the dogs in the street. When the dogs attack a kill, they snarl, they growl, they slobber, they break bones, they don't eat with table manners. You shouldn't be like a dog. You should be like a mensch. You should be like a person. You should eat at the table nicely. You should use a fork and a knife. Okay. In other words, if you behave like a dog, it will affect your inside. And the Sefer HaChinuch coins the term Acharei HaPu'ulos Nimshach HaAdam. A person's inside follows their outside. If you behave like a prince at the table, and you pour your water into a cup, and you don't drink it from a bottle, and use a fork and knife, it just happened by dinner. One of the kids was eating a cold chicken wing. So they were struggling with the fork and knife. So I said, chicken wings are finger food. So the child said, well, they're using a fork and a knife. So I said, it's better manners. It's still harder to eat. So I said, okay. If you eat in a refined fashion, the Korban Pesach, it will affect your inside. It's not enough to say, I'm a Jew inside. Your outside must be up to a very high standard. And even on the days when you don't feel your inside matches, your outside will affect your inside. I'm going to ask you a question. How do you feel on the days, maybe this is never you, but sometimes, if you dress down? The days when you dress down, you don't have time for makeup. You don't have time to pull yourself together. You have to run out. You're wearing a long black slinky skirt. And you threw on your natives. And you're wearing a tichel without any makeup. And you're wearing a hooded sweatshirt. And you ran out to the store. It's okay. It's Erev Shabbos. You look like a mommy. Very nice. How do you feel when you get dressed, when you put on your makeup, some nice jewelry, a beautiful sweater, a nice skirt, proper shoes? You don't feel the same. Maybe you do, but most people don't feel the same. Why don't you feel the same? My inside's the same. Acharei hapulos nimshach ha'adam. A person goes after their actions, their external behavior. We don't tend to think of this as a principle in Yahadus. We think the inside is the most important because, like someone posted, that's where your neshama is. But the reality is, when it comes to being a Talmid Chacham and a Ben Torah or a Bas Torah and an Eved Hashem, the outside's very important. And even on the days where you feel your inside doesn't match, you have to keep your outside up to par because it will affect your inside. Rav Mordechai Gifter Zatzal, Rosh Hashiva tells, Roman Rabbi Zavlev quotes him, he says, my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Gifter, but I didn't hear this from Rabbi Zavlev, it's brought down in the Rav Gifter biography in a couple of places, when he would see a boy, a yeshiva boy, drinking from a can, he would stop him, like a can of soda. Let's say a Ben Torah doesn't drink from a can, a Ben Torah drinks from a cup. But I'm still the same yet inside. Hashem doesn't love my neshama. Why do I have to pour it into a cup? I waste water when I have to wash the cup. I waste plastic if I have to throw out the cup. Let me just drink from the can. I'm the same person inside. So actually, kol talmid chacham shein tocho kivaro. Any talmid chacham who's inside is not like his outside. It's not talmid chacham. The outside is actually very important. And so Rabbi Zavlev said to this woman, you're making a mistake. Let's talk about covering your hair. You don't feel like a rabbi, but inside. If you behave in a certain way, you will become that person on the inside. And it's interesting because when you look at the Aron Kodesh, and I showed you the pictures before, when you look at the Aron Kodesh, all you saw was the outside. You didn't see anything of the inside. There was wood in there. There was another box. You only saw a beautiful, gorgeous outside. And perhaps that's part of a Chazal teaching you. That beautiful exterior will have a positive influence on the interior. And now I want to quote from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamb. I already took the essays and the excerpts from this essay. It's much longer than what I'm planning to quote. Let's see how much I could get through. Okay. The introduction, he talks about the Aron Kodesh, the principle of Tocho Kavaro. I already told it to you from the Gemara Maseches Yuma. A true Torah scholar must live in such a manner that he is alike inwardly and outwardly. Okay. Thus, our rabbi saw in this verse of the Aron Kodesh, Vasis Vaasu Aron Atze Shitim, make the Aron of Shitim wood. However, Litzipiso Osov Mibayis Umichutz Titzapenu. And what do the rabbis see from here? A plea for integrity of character. Your inside should be gold, your outside should be gold. In the ideal world, like a few of you ladies posted, and the ideal perfect word, well, no one ever sinned, and no one ever had to work on Tikkun HaMidos, the outside and the inside should always match. That's true. They should. But we're human beings. And we are very fallible. And we have a very strong Yetzer Hara. So the reality is that even though they should always match, the people who wrote you should have consistency, they should always match, it's true, they should. In the ideal world, pre-sin, before the Nachash said to Isha, take the fruit and eat it. But after sin, sometimes outside and inside don't match. So on the days when you're having a hard day, should you make your outside like your inside? I don't think it's a good idea. You're going to go around screaming at everybody, grumpy, upset, annoyed. You're not going to be pleasant to be around. But why? That's my inside. I'm going to reflect it on the outside. No. Chazal say, pull yourself together. Be a mensch on the outside. Because it's going to affect your inside. That's our rabbi saw a plea for integrity of character, a warning against a cleavage, a divide between theory and practice. A real Jew must always be Tocho Kavaro. That's very nice, and it's very true. But he gives examples where you see that even built into halacha, the outside and the inside don't match. For example, Chilul Shabbos. I'm skipping a lot in the essay so that I could finish my shiur in time. Thus, Chilul Shabbos, the violation of Shabbos, is at all times a most serious infraction of halacha. You can never be Michal Shabbos. But what's looked upon more seriously by Chazal? Chilul Shabbos b'yechidus or Chilul Shabbos b'farhesia? Which one? Malki Sultan, I could see. Everyone knows, b'farhesia. It's much more grave. Why? It's the same act. One was inside, one was outside. Now, they're both usher, so don't leave shir and say, Michal said it's okay to be Michal Shabbos b'yechidus. No, it's not. But one who is Michal Shabbos b'farhesia is judged much more stringently than one who is Michal Shabbos b'yechidus. So that teaches you that even in halacha, there's a divide between the inside and the outside. Chilul Shabbos b'farhesia in public is considered far worse than in the privacy of one's home. Or, take for another example, Chilul Hashem. The profanation of the divine name. It's considered a dreadful sin. Bachilul Hashem b'farhesa b'rabim is not only disgraceful, but totally unforgivable. That's what he writes, and the Rambam codifies that as halacha. The Rambam writes, Bachilul Hashem b'farhesa b'rabim, there's no atonement other than death. But that's not the punishment for one who is chilul Shabbos b'yichidus. So even in halacha, there's differences inside and outside. So this shows you, built into the framework of halacha, that the outside and inside don't always match. Chilul Shabbos is chilul Shabbos. But there's a difference if you did it in private, inside, and if you did it outside, in public. These instances reveal that Jewish tradition itself does not always maintain the principle of tohu kevaru, inside like outside. In order to understand what this means, it is important to read carefully what the Gemara tells us. It recommends that we always strive for tohu kevaru, the inside be similar to our outside. The Chazal do not ask us to develop baro ketocho. They do not ask us to develop an outer appearance that conforms to an inner reality. So you might think, like that lady who came to Rabbi Zevlov, but then I'm a hypocrite. Why should I smile at my children if inside I want to kill somebody? Chas v'shalom. I'm exhausted and I didn't sleep and I have so much work and you're not bathing or you missed the bus, this doesn't happen here, I don't have little kids in the house anymore. But I'm giving examples. When someone had a tantrum and someone threw, this happened to me once, when the kids were a cantaloupe, they picked up in the shopping cart and threw it on the floor in the supermarket, and I have to cook for Shabbos, and company's coming, and someone has to fold the laundry, and there's dishes all over the place, and you just, why shouldn't you lose it? Maybe you should just scream at everybody in the kitchen. Isn't it a farce? Isn't it hypocrisy to put on a smile and act nicely? Because that's not how my inside feels. Said Rabbi Zavlev, put on the sheitel. You're not a hypocrite. Because the outside will affect your inside. Do not let your inside affect your outside. No, do not. That's the wrong way to go. There is no, unless you're the God of Hadar, and your inside is always impeccable. I'm not being sarcastic, I'm being mamish serious. Unless every thought you have about being Adam Mechaver and being Adam Mechakam is absolutely 100% kosher pi halacha and Torah midos, then okay. But if you're a regular person and you sometimes get annoyed, maybe it happens to you too. What do? You smile. You have a polite word. You act kindly. Are you a hypocrite? No. You're of course striving to be a better person inside. If you're not, then you are a hypocrite. But if you're learning Torah, and if you make time for shir, and if you immerse yourself in Divrei Torah, and you really work on Tikkun Amidus, you're not a hypocrite. You're like the Aron Kodesh. Don't forget what was in the innermost compartment of the Aron Kodesh, the Shivrei Luchos. They were in the deepest, most hidden part of the Aron. They were under the whole Luchos. But sometimes inside a person is broken. Could you imagine if everybody in the world walked around externally how we always felt on the inside? There is no demand for a person to be baro ketocho. Outer appearance should not conform to an inner reality. There is no demand that our external image be reduced to the dimensions of what really lies within ourselves. But there is a demand that we keep up the appearance of decency, and it's not a lie. Unless you're truly a hypocrite and you're not trying, you're not interested in Hashem or in fellow man, and you don't do Tikkun Amidus and you're a kofar bikar, I'm not talking about that. But for Hamon Am, for us, for regular Yidden who are trying hard and we make time for Torah, time for the Rebbe, and we try to be thoughtful, we try to be helpful, we try to be better, we work on our Avodas Hashem. Sometimes the inside doesn't feel as good as the outside. You're not a hypocrite. The Aron Kodesh had gold on the outside, and the Shivrei Luchos on the inside. You could be broken on the outside, but you're going to be beautiful on the outside. You could be broken on the inside, but your inside eventually will be affected by the outside. And that's why the whole Luchos v'Shivrei Luchos Menachem, because the whole Luchos were also there. Eventually that brokenness will be so affected by the outside, it will come to be whole again. There is a demand that we keep up the appearance of decency, Jewishness, and honor. We have to remake our inner life to conform to the image that we project. Again, don't misunderstand. If a person's mamash or rasha, so we don't suggest that this is not talking about them, and they are hypocrites, and they're not who we're talking about, and we're not talking about politicians. Take all those people out. Talking about sincere Avdei Hashem. Rav Meilich Biederman tells over that there was a group of Hasidim, and it was halal. We just had 2 days of Rosh Chodesh. It was halal. And there was a Hasidic Rebbe in Shul with them, and he said to his Hasidim, Ana Hashem is the most important part of halal. Which part of Ana Hashem? So after Chassidim said, Ana Hashem Moshiach, that's the most important part of Hallel. Please God save us. And other Chassidim, the other half said, Ana Hashem Matzlicha, that's the most important part of Hallel. Please Hashem make us successful. And the Rebbe looked at them and he said, you're both wrong. Ana Hashem ki ani avadecha is the most important part of Hallel. Please God help me because I am your servant. So if a person is genuine, and we try to be genuine, only the Ribbono Shel Olam really knows if we're genuine. Like Abdul Olam HaMS will be gauged if we were genuine or not. We're striving and we're trying and we do make time for Torah and we do make time for Bezras Hashem and we try. But the Toch sometimes doesn't match. Keep up the external because your Toch will catch up. Etzem lo sishprubo. Why? Etzem lo sishprubo. Don't be like a dog on the street. Eat with refinement externally. You will become refined internally. Acharei hapulos nimshacha adam. It often happens, says Rabbi Dachman Ramalam, that the toch, the inner life of man, may be cruel and corrupt, whereas the outer image is clean and compassionate. Maybe inside he's ruthless and rude, outward he's polite and delicate. In fact, the Torah teaches us, ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra min u'rav. The inclination of man, the internal of man, is bad from his youth. And the rabbis contemplate this inner perversity, yetzer lev ha'adam ra min u'rav, and outer glitter. And they demand in one direction only, toho kevaro, do not destroy your outer image. Enhance it, and then live up to it. So make sure that it's affecting your inside. Develop a great outer life, but then the key is to transform your inner life. So don't drink from the, I haven't drank Blianhara from a bottle or can in years. But make sure your inside reflects the dignity of that person. Work on it. But don't throw away the outside when the inside's having a bad day. It is naive and dangerous for a man to act the way he always is inside. He should try to be as decent as possible in the way he acts. In the way he acts. I had to skip most of this essay. The vast majority, in fact, I had to skip. But he ties it into Adar. So I'm going to tie it into Adar with Rabbi Dr. Nora Malam. A final example. Let us take the matter, and this speaks to so many of us. Well, Adar comes, k'shem shem menichnas av me'atin besimcha, kach mishenichnas Adar marbin besimcha. When Adar shows up, did all your problems just go away? All your nisyonis left? You don't have any worries anymore? Everything disappeared? I know, bitachon is every letter except the da'aga is every letter except the base, because if you have bitachon, there's no da'aga, but michar, it still has da'aga. Okay, I'm working on it. So what happens? Adar comes, and now I have a Talmudic dictum. You have to be marbin besimcha. But what happened? I don't always feel besimcha. As a final example, says Rabbi Dr. Nora Malam, let's take the matter of joy or happiness. This week, we welcome the Hebrew month of Adar. And the Gemara teaches us, Mishenichas Adar marbin besimcha. Increase your happiness. This is a beautiful idea. But what if I am miserable? How can you command a person to be happy? I often talk to people who are deep in the doldrums, and the answer I receive, a very genuine one, how can you encourage me when my luck is bad, my situation forlorn, my existence boring, my life dull, my pain ever present? Did all your nisyonos, did all of your burdens, did all the situations we have difficulty in disappear because it's other? But the answer of the Jewish tradition, accumulated in the course of 3,000 years, is that happiness, simcha, and joy are a state of mind, which can be inspired from without, as well as aroused from within. If one acts besimcha, eventually he will emerge from under the burden of sadness. Hasidim make a great principle of this idea. They drink alachayim, they sang songs in shul, they danced, they declared sadness is a sin. They tried to inspire happiness, even artificially, externally. In a continent and an age when European Jewry was seized with despair because of false messiahs, when the Hasidic movement began, because of massacres, political persecutions, economic and cultural deprivation, Hasidim were able to inspire the masses by being happy. Tocho kevaro. Your inside will be like your outside. Create a greater image. Create a greater image than your reality is. Don't worry. No one's going to think you're the Gadol Dor. They won't. But that outer image that's greater than your inner will inspire your inner. And then change over your reality to conform to that image. To summarize what we have said, says Rabbi Lam, to demand, as some deluded people sometimes do, to demand, as deluded people sometimes do, that we become baro ketocho, outside like our inside, that we remake our outer life to conform to our inner life, is to condemn man to the lowest station of humanity and to deny them hope. Most people don't always have an impeccable inside. Again, there are exceptions. There are Talmidei Chachamim who are much greater than us. There are Gedolei Hador. There are leaders. But Chazal is only talking to one person. Kol Talmidei Chachamim Shein Tocha Kvar. Rabbi Zaglav, put in a sheitel. Your inside is going to change. You don't feel different when you get dressed a little nicer? When, because you're rushed or whatever it is, you spend your day dressed down? You do feel different. Why? Isn't that interesting? Isn't my inside the same? Isn't the inside what counts? That's so certain, said Rabbi Meir. Don't judge anything by appearance. Because there's often a disparity between the outside and the inside. The key is to make sure that the outside, ultimately, which should be held to a higher standard, will affect your inside. We must urge people, Tocho Kevaro Sechazal, to hold forth a realizable ideal on the outside, in the finest tradition of Jewish ethical optimism. And then we must live up to it. Mibayis u'michutz titzapenu. Mibayis. In other words, listen how beautiful. The Chumash says, Va'asu aron atzei shitim. And even though we have to live tocho kevaro, when it comes to covering the aron, it says, Mibayis u'michutz titzapenu. Rabbi Zavlev also speaks about this. When it comes to putting on the gold, it puts bias inside before chutz outside. Why? We just had a whole shir on the outside affects the inside. So why in the psukim does it say covered on the inside and the outside? It sounds like the inside comes first. Ultimately, if a person can live up to tocho kevaro, then the inside will become golden. And the outside ultimately will follow. So I know it's not the exact same as the Mishnah from Rabbi Meir and the Kankan, but that's what this teaching reminded me of in Pirkei Avos. And that's why I chose this Mishnah, which we have not learned in 3 years together. Rabbi Meir Omer, Altistakal Ba Kankan, don't look at the jug. Elabamasha Yeshbo, I know the Mishnah is not exactly the same. But the point of the Mishnah, the reason I brought it, is because it does teach you that the outside and the inside often don't match. And Chazal are saying we're aware of the human condition. Hashem is aware that sometimes it doesn't match. We know that. But don't go around slaughtering people with your tongue because you're bad, having a bad day on the inside. And don't stay like a shmato the whole day because you're having a bad day on the inside. Put in a facade on the outside and make sure your inside matches. And then you will become mibayis, umichutz, titzapenu. You can have a jug that's new, cheap, off the production line. You think it's worth nothing. And it could be full of all delicious wine. The inside and the outside don't always match. You can have a yashan, an old antique jug that looks worth more than $1 million. And you bring it home and it has nothing inside, not even new wine. So Chazal say, when you feel that disparity within yourself, do not despair. Don't give in to the negative feelings of the outside. And so yes, when other comes, Mishenechnas Ardar Marabim B'Simcha, act B'Simcha. And then the inside will be the simcha. It's a real bechiddush, it's a revolutionary idea. It's a fascinating way of looking at how we practice Avodas Hashem. Again, it does not, please don't misunderstand this year. I said this 4 times. It doesn't mean to live a hypocritical life where everything's external, nothing's internal. That's not the path of Avodas Hashem. But if your inside is trying mightily, but you have a big gate sorrow because that's how Hashem made us. Every day the Yetzirah tries to overcome. Hashem will help us if we want to be helped. So on the days when you wake up, to use an expression, on the wrong side of the bed, make your external on the right side of the bed. And your inside will be raised up and lifted. Yeah, it's true. Something I never really thought about. It's true. So I thank very, very much. Each week when I say this, it's not lip service. This is my inside, Ame outside. I'm being serious. Without you ladies, there wouldn't be Shir. Imagine all the Shchuyas of Torah, all the Neshamas Elios, all the Mazel Tovs. Like, it's unbelievable. Without these Divrei Torah would not be emanating. So, Mamish Tizkul Mitzvos Elamaisim Tovim, Shani Grotz is sponsoring Lezeich Nishmas Ramadana, Survivor, Sarah Chana Bas Yaakov, Alaha HaShalom, Lezeich Nishma, who's Ayurtev Ischaf Alf Shvat, for her maternal grandfather, Heschel Ben Menachem Mendel, Lamid Shvat, her paternal grandmother, Chava Bas Yaakov, Alasham Beis Adar, Malki Sultan, on the occasion of the first yurtzeit of her mother, a Holocaust survivor, left five doros, Bli Ein Hara. Her yurtzeit was also to Adar, Chaya Edo, Basar of Shlomo Zalman Halevi. And finally, my talented and beautiful friend, Alana Moskowitz, makes me look so beautiful on the outside and hopefully the inside too. Zeichanish was her father, whose yurtzeit was also Beis Adar, which was today Shlomo Zalman ben Rav Elchanan. Now the Shamas of Leos Tisku and Mitzvos Lamaisim Tovim. I'll post it on the chat, but next week Shir is at 7 because I have a non-negotiable conflict for a meeting for family matter. I can't change it. I try never to double book. Instead of canceling, I'm moving it up an hour. Have a wonderful Chodesh Adar, Mishin Nichnas Adar, Marbin Besimcha, and a beautiful Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody.